If you haven't already, pray that I'll get through this. I'm going to try to go in an expedient manner. We'll see what happens. Anybody ever struggle with these two words, affect and effect? There's other ones, but one's a verb, one's a noun. You got to use them certain ways, and sometimes there's exceptions. Don't y'all love the English language? But anyway, see? So what we're going to talk about this morning is the Barnabas effect. And you could actually say it the other way if you wanted to, the Barnabas affect, right? But if you apply the principles we're going to talk about, then it's going to, what, have an effect. Did I get it correct? Did I get it correct? So over the past few weeks, y'all just have to bear with me this morning. I apologize, but it is what it is, right? Over the past few weeks, we've looked at several passages that included key people who had a tremendous impact on the establishment of the early church. And our efforts were focused on the book of Acts. And through that, we've attempted to learn important lessons found in this great book. Most important is the impact, not of some of the people we've talked about, but of the Holy Spirit. When we consider how quickly and how substantial the growth of the early church was, we got to make sure to give credit where credit is due. And guess what? The credit belongs to the Holy Spirit. Yes, folks like Peter, John, Paul, and as we're going to look at today, Barnabas, they did some remarkable things. They did remarkable things to advance the gospel. But they only did those things under the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures inform us that it is the same Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, that gives each of us our spiritual gifts. Now, I was joking with somebody earlier, and I think, you know, most of you think that complaining is a spiritual gift. It's not. It's not. But the purpose, their purpose, was to spread the gospel and then to build the church. Remember, the church at that time was, it didn't exist. It didn't exist. They were building something. Our purpose is to allow God's divinely given spiritual gifts to help us continue sharing the gospel. And since the church is already built, we're supposed to build up that body, to build up the body of Christ, which of course is his church. Now, in Scripture, in three primary places, you'll find it in a few other places, but primary places, Paul informs us of the purpose behind God giving us these gifts. And because of my voice, we have enlisted some of you to read the Scripture for us. So whoever's first, I don't know what the order was. If you'll read the first one, it'll be on the screen, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7.
Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
All right, so that's 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, and then we're going to read Ephesians 4, 11 through 13.
And he gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
And then we're going to read Romans 12, 6 through 8.
Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness.
Thank you. So there, the last one. Here in Romans 12:8, we see the word exhort. Another more common word that you'll find in other translations in place of exhort is to encourage. The Greek word there is parakaleo. Para means alongside of. Kaleo means to call. Therefore, parakaleo means to call alongside of. This word gives us the idea of coming to the aid of someone in a particular area, right, where he or she cannot help themselves. Have anybody ever been helpless before? When you're helpless, wouldn't it be nice if somebody just out of the blue showed up and helped you? Wouldn't that be nice? So, with this idea in mind, this idea of coming to the aid of someone in a particular area where he or she cannot help themselves, this is what I want to focus on this morning. Listen to the words again from Romans 12:8, but I want to read it from a different translation, the New Living Translation. Not that there was anything wrong with the ESV, but I want you to see that that word parakaleo, that word exhort, that word encourage, it can be, we can use different English words to explain this thought. The same verse from the NLT says, if your gift, was somebody going to read that? Or is that me?
You.
Me. All right. Let's go. I didn't want to take somebody's role. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If your gift is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, as I was thinking about today's message, I was reminded that during the places, the brief look that we've had so far in the book of Acts, we read about a guy whose name is a direct reflection of his spiritual gift. So go back to Acts 4:36 through 37. That's somebody, right? Who is it supposed to be? Nope. Is it you? Ah, it's Aaron.
Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
So you remember we read about Joseph, right? So this Joseph, this man Joseph, whose common name, some people would say his nickname. Anybody got a nickname? You don't have to share because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Whose common name was Barnabas, was given this nickname because of his everyday character. Now, I could be mean and ask you what your everyday character is so that we could give you a nickname. Any volunteers for that? Didn't think so. So, Barnabas, that was his common name. That's what most people called him. But he was called that because of what his name means, what that name means. He was called Barnabas because he was viewed by many as a son of encouragement. Paul says, if you have been given the gift of encouragement, then do what? Encourage. Barnabas, guess what? They called him that because he had been given the gift of encouragement, and guess what he did? He encouraged. Now, if you look at the rest of that, if you've been given the gift of what? Giving, then you ought to do what? Give generously. It says what at the end of that? If you have been given the gift to show kindness to others, then do it how? Gladly, right? Sometimes when we're kind to others, we do it what? Begrudgingly. Scripture says don't waste your time, right? Do it gladly. So Paul says, if you've been given the gift, make sure you use the gift for what its purpose is. Barnabas is a great example when it comes to encouragement. We're going to read Acts 11, 19 through 30, but I believe that's two different parts, if I'm not correct. Or who's reading next? Kobe?
Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus and to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in those days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, every one according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul.
So Barnabas was a minor player in the growth of the church. But if you look at the things that the Holy Spirit led him to do, and you look at it and you find it in seven places in Acts that it talks about Barnabas and what the Holy Spirit led him to do. But if you study those things, you'll see that his role, even though he was minor in many aspects, his role as an encourager was absolutely what? Necessary. Without that encouragement, without that coming alongside of what we just read here, what Kobe just read, coming alongside Paul, guess what? Paul might not have been who Paul was. Have you ever thought about that? Or it may have took a little longer because he might not have realized it as quickly. So Barnabas, led by the Holy Spirit, gifted to be an encourager, was necessary for the growth of the church. And if you remember last week's message, Barnabas supported Paul when everyone else was skeptical. Look back at Acts chapter 9, 26 and 27. Was that someone else?
And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus.
Who took up for Paul? Barnabas. So his gift of encouragement was very, very significant, very important for the spread and the growth of the gospel and of the church. It was his character that reflected his spiritual giftedness. He built people up. Now, I could embarrass you and say, how many in the room focus on building people up? But I'm not going to do that. Barnabas supported them. And he loved them unconditionally. Do you think there was probably moments in Barnabas' life where he thought, man, I just don't want to do this today? Not to that guy. But because of his love for Jesus and the Spirit that lived inside of him, he turned it over to him, and the Spirit led him, and he built people up. This idea, or the idea behind this spiritual gift, is that God gives this gift to empower people for the purpose of coming alongside another person who is weak. Guess what you did this morning by reading? You came along somebody who was weak. And you lifted, you built up in a particular area, a moment of need. And it's the divine ability to lift the burden from another person and help them along their way. Have you ever just felt something so heavy? And it just seems like you can't take another step. And in your mind you say, man, I wish somebody would just take this and lift it. We need Christian men and women with the gift of encouragement to do what? Come alongside and pick it up. You ever seen those heavy boxes and it's got this picture on it of two different people lifting at the same time and it says two man lift? It's a whole lot easier when two people are doing it than somebody left to do it by themselves. Now, I got a lot of men in the room. You know what we try to do when we see two man lift? We say, nah, I got it, right? And then we spend 2 weeks in the hospital with a bad back or in traction with a bad back. And I say all that not to just make light of it, but here's the thing. If you know somebody with the gift of encouragement, let them use their gift. If you're that person, Paul said what? Use the gift. Let them come alongside you. That's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes. But there are at least two places in Scripture where every Christian is called to encourage others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Let's look at that one. Therefore, what? Encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And then in Hebrews 3:13. But exhort, there's that word again, right? But encourage, build up one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. When I read those verses and I think about it, and I say, well, I don't have the gift of encouragement, but I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ. Guess what? I'm also supposed to, when the moment is right, when the time is right, do what? Encourage someone if I can. If I feel like I can't, then who do I need to turn it over to? Power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside me, right? We are all called to be an encourager. But if you've got that gift, you've been given that special ability, when a person needs it most, I want to encourage you to use it. And I also thought that I should give you some indicators for what to look for in these little Barnabases. When they are in your life, you'll feel the Barnabas effect. They genuinely like people. You ever, an encourager, guess what? They like people. That's kind of an obvious thing, right? They also are relational by nature. They will try to encourage relationships, build relationships, not run away from them. Y'all like this, and Clemson needs this year. They root for the underdog, right? I mean, you ever met people like that? They don't care if they've won every game for 16 years. They're going to pull for the little guy, right, on any given day. Right? That type mentality. They're also open-minded. They're very forgiving. They're very tolerant. They're quick to respond to the needs of others. They're quick to give you the benefit of the doubt. Well, that's a big one sometimes, isn't it? Because sometimes we can take this foot or this foot and stick it where? Right here. And sometimes we need the benefit of the doubt. That's where these encouragers can come in and help us remove said foot. They are quick to give, or they're usually well-liked by others. This could be a good one or a bad one. They're talkative. If you're somebody that don't like to talk much, that encourager might get on your nerves, but you need to see through that. You need to understand that they're just doing what God's gifted them to do, right? Not always easy, but let me encourage you to accept that. And then number 9, the last one, they are quick to spot a person's potential. I used to coach younger kids and up through high school soccer and different things like that. And sometimes I would put a kid in a position in the field and they would say, well, I don't know anything about this position. And I always use that word potential. And I would say, but I see in you the potential to figure this position out, and it will help benefit what? The team. An encourager for Christ, an encourager for the kingdom, is going to see in you a potential that maybe somebody else does not see, and hopefully they're going to come alongside you. They're going to be a paraclete in that moment, and they're going to come alongside you, and they're going to say, I know this is uncomfortable for you. I know it's uncomfortable to sit up here in the blue chair. I know it's uncomfortable for you, but you can do it. The gift of encouragement is a how-to gift. People who have it are hands-on. They're usually practical and do not like a lot of theatrical debate. They get bored with doctrinal discussions that have nothing to do with real life. Does that sound like any of y'all? Now, you know what the converse of that is, right? The opposite of that is. That's the person that likes to sit around and debate and debate and debate and debate, right? Sometimes you just need to see through and say, what's their gift? What are they trying to do? What are they trying to help me with? The gift of encouragement is sometimes viewed as a counseling gift. People who have it enjoy spending their time helping other people work through their problems. Again, that can be good and bad. It can be good because they really do want to help. It can be bad because they want to help a little too much sometimes. You got to see through it. And you got to say, God's just gifted them with this gift of encouragement. Let them do the work. Good leaders are encouragers, but they don't always feel like they must lead. One of the lessons I learned early in my life was some of the best leaders were the best followers first. They are content with serving a support role. They find joy in simply cheering others on. When's the last time you cheered somebody on? In a good way. I know Colby. He's about there. You can do it, man. You got it, right? When's the last time you cheered somebody on in a good way? You can sing that song. You can pray that prayer. You can go sit with that person and talk to them for 10 minutes. You can do it. When's the last time the Lord led you to do something like that for someone else? I thank God for the people who encourage me. I thank God for the people who encourage you. What a sad and dreary world it would be without those people. They light the way and they lift us up when we fall short. Many of us would have quit long ago if someone hadn't encouraged us to keep going. As your pastor, can I tell you how many times I've wanted to quit on a Sunday morning? You know how many more times I've wanted to quit on a Monday morning? But usually by Monday at lunchtime, somebody says something or does something that just reminds me, hey, you can do this. You can keep going. So I encourage you to thank God for the Barnabases that you have in your life. Do you have those Barnabases, those encouragers? And don't use the default. Don't say, well, I got my spouse. It's good that your spouse is an encouragement. But outside of that very intimate relationship, who else do you have in your life that's a Barnabas? that'll cheer you on, that'll lift you up, that'll walk with you, that'll take that heavy stone boulder that you might be carrying around and make it a two-man lift instead of a one-man lift. If you don't have those folks in your life, I encourage you to be intentional about seeking them out. Find someone. Just start with one. And if you recognize that gift in someone, don't be afraid to walk up to them and say, you know, I noticed that you probably have the gift of encouragement. I need some of that. Remember, Paul said, if you got it, use it. They're chomping at the bit. They're sitting back probably thinking, man, who can I encourage today? Well, guess what? Here you come and you say, I can use some of that. Give them an opportunity. Let them encourage you. Find those gifted people to encourage you and then let them do their work. Let them come alongside you. Let them help you carry those burdens, especially when you need them most. I think of our brother just down the road today, Mike. You know what he needs? He needs his church family to come alongside him and carry that burden. He needs to be encouraged. And he needs to know that his church family loves him and is there if he needs them. And I know many of you have already stepped forward and you're helping and you're serving in that capacity. I think of Donna, whose brother passed away just yesterday morning, Mr. Wilson. Guess what? They live in our community. It's part of our church family. They might need some encouragement. They might need a come alongside person. Especially over the next few weeks. And we were talking about this with Mike. He's going to have all that for the next 10, 12, 14 days. But what about day 30? What about day 70? What about 2.5 years later? If you're sitting here today and you know that you're a Barnabas, let me be your Barnabas and encourage you to use the gift that God has given you. And let me do that by reminding you of those words of Paul that says, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Be encouraging. I haven't mentioned it yet. Kim's obituary is now on Davenport, the 8th, which is this coming Saturday now at 11 a.m. here at the church will be her memorial service. So I encourage you, if you're available in that time, to come and participate in that service. But most importantly, do what? Lift Mike up. Help him pick that burden up and carry it in that moment. Thank you for your patience with me this morning. I don't know, did Jackie pick a song for us to do at the end? Did you pick one? As they get prepared to play the song, I say this every week, a time of invitation is what? It's for you to come if you need to. It's for you to sit where you're at if you need to, however you need to do that. But to what? Talk to the Father and say, you know what? I'm weak here. I'm struggling here. You know who the number one paraclete is? The Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, that's where the word originated, right? When Jesus was talking about sending a helper, sending a paraclete, the one to come alongside. If you need help, during the song, come forward. If I can help you, I will. Will you stand?